The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Everybody, welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middlest brother, Travis Vroom Vroom McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? This is Griffin McElroy, and I'm sorry, dudes.
Whoa.
But I got a jet.
Oh. Wait, you have to jet?
What, sorry, we just dudes. Started. Sorry, dudes. No can do today. Got
you
a Zoom.
You said you were ready. Like, we have this scheduled.
Yeah, I'm ready to fucking Zoom.
Where are you going?
Because the road's coming. Shush. The road's calling me, and I need to go Zoom, because this morning I woke up, you guys, and I looked out my window in my front yard. Well, it's not much of a yard, but I looked out on the sidewalk in front of my house. Someone had left two electric scooters there for me.
Are you kidding?
Two electric scooters delivered, like a stork or an angel did it, and said, God wants you to Zoom, and left me not one, two electric scooters for me.
Griffin, in what state?
Not one.
It's the District of Columbia.
It's not a state. It's the District of Columbia. We're
kind
pretty
of a
fucking
big
sore about it. What state? I mean, I'm not an electric scooter guy. God wants me to be one because he put two beautiful fucking grinders on my doorstep this morning. They look fully ready to fuck. Like, they look good to go.
So you busted out the quiver that you have for the second one, right? So that as you ride the first one, charge depletes, you whip that second one off your back.
And you can hop from one to the other while you're on the highway, because these motherfuckers look street legal and ready to go.
They got Nas?
What's that?
They got Nas?
Travis, I don't know anything about electric scooters. You keep asking me questions about, like, the gizmos
boost
and gadgets.
Are they still there?
Yeah, man, I don't know. I saw them fucking 10 minutes ago. Now you're going to make me paranoid that I have to check periodically that somebody's not
going to scoot. Bring them inside, Griffin.
Are you a little bit worried, Griffin, about the fact that someone drove, not one someone, two someone.
Yeah. Oh, gang.
Drove to where you live, and they were like, this is the place, and then left.
Looks like we'll stop right here. Our journey ends here at Griffin McElroy's house. Yeah, Jews, the game's afoot. I've been keeping my eyes peeled all morning for these fucking sneaky grinders who have rolled up to my house. Left me a beautiful gift. I can't wait to Zoom on these things.
Yeah, but it is like, where are you guys?
Because there's two of you.
And there's one of him, and you knew that, didn't you? You knew that going in, that there's one of him and two of you.
It might be a Pennywise thing.
They are a little bit close to a little sewer, whatever you call that.
I think that renting a scooter rather than buying your own is quite Pennywise, Travis.
Thank you.
Oh, that's cool, man. But I don't know what you mean.
They never talk about that in the It storyline of how frugal he is. Like, that's not his real name. His real name's Tony, but everybody calls him Pennywise because he's so good with money. And he eats kids or whatever. That, like, yeah, obviously that's overwhelming feature.
Take it from
about
Jonathan
him.
Swift. That's a perfectly logical reaction to economic pressures. You know what I mean?
There, like, we go. Thank
it's
you.
It's his social
so
commentary
frugal
he's doing. How more penny wise can you be?
Than more children
how
for fuel
can you get? You know?
Yeah, sure. Sure. So I got a fucking Zoom, guys. I'm not kidding. I don't got a show in me today when I know all the incredible fucking road adventures waiting for me out there.
Well, do you want to, we can pause the recording, Griffin. You can go have like a 2-hour sojourn on your electric scooter and then come back and report to us what it was like?
Okay, yeah, let's take a quick 2-hour break and then we'll pick it back up.
Okay.
Oh, fuck you
Griffin, guys! Oh, no, what happened?
Oh, fuck you guys, fuck! I fell down 20 times and I fucked up my legs!
No, man.
Both of them, fuck! I got road rash much? I look like Raspberry City over here. Fuck, guys, those things. And get this! You need to pay for them on your fucking phone? Crazy. And I found the two guys. They stabbed me a little
no.
bit. It's been a bad 2 hours. I'm glad we weren't recording all that.
Griffin, give me their location and I will destroy the assailants.
Yeah, during the 2 hours, Justin got that RoboCop upgrade that he's been talking about.
Damn.
Ready to go, punks.
Yeah.
Ready to zoom. You bullied my brother off his scooter while I'm bowling your dick off your balls.
I did try putting one foot on each scooter and then blasting, and it tore my wiener and butt apart into two. Yeah, there's a Yiddish expression of you can't ride a horse, two horses with one behind, one fanny, and it turns out that that's true for scooters, and that the penalty is your penis and butt gets torn right in half.
I got into a habit of pre-show and post-show when we would be a little bit of a distance from the venue and our hotel of like grabbing one of those rental scooters zipping on down to the venue, grinding down to the venue or grinding home from the venue in the dark.
Yeah.
And I had to get honest with myself at a certain point that when I was zooming in the dark past people who had just come to my podcast.
Yeah, it was the coolest fucking thing in the world.
I had to accept that some part of me is trying to have the funniest death possible. Some part of me is over the fact that this dipshit on a scooter after his podcast in front of people who had just listened to his podcast.
I mean, you don't want it.
I don't want it.
No.
Not at all. But scared I think of it. Huge scared.
We are three professional comedian entertainers, and I think that if, once God forbid we pass, the question, howdy go, was followed with, you're never going to fucking believe
you're
this.
You're going to think I'm fucking with you.
That's right the now. best case scenario.
You remember when they released the Whopper 3 in 2060? Well, he choked to death on that.
Yeah.
You can believe he choked to death. I like that, actually.
He was singing the Munch Squad theme song while chewing on the Whopper 3.
wait, Munch Squad, he stopped doing that podcast 30 years ago.
Yeah.
No, he did it. They just stopped recording it.
He kept doing just that.
He never stopped.
Munch Squad continued in perpetuity.
He was eating the Cyber Whopper. They got him.
Have you, Trav, did you get down there to try all the How to Train Your Dragon meals yet? Did you enjoy those?
No, because it's not How to Eat Your Dragon, Justin. And I'm upset by
interesting.
It should be.
No, Justin, I was too busy last weekend to eat the How to Train Your Dragon things because I had to watch. My children are in dance class, and they're wonderful and talented and great. And they were in two separate sessions of recitals.
Hey, Trav, so's Glenn Powell, but you don't hear me bragging about it. You know what I mean?
You had to go watch Glenn Powell's dance recital.
Sorry, Trav, you were trying to counterburn me, but you fell on your
own
feet.
I did. But
the burn rest now.
I was at dance recitals basically from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. last weekend. Man. There were breaks in between, but what am I going to do with that time? But it's cool because the second dance recital ended with pre-K through first grade hip hop class of 30 kids. And it was a balm to my soul, Justin. It made it all worth it. These kids, they've turned their strife into dance and I loved it so much, Justin. Oh, God, it was good.
There is nothing I dislike more than a dance recital. Man, that is weaponized art. You're holding people prisoner to do art at them.
That's cool.
It's rough. Dance recitals are rough.
If my kid was on stage the whole time, I'd love it.
Yeah.
My kid's on stage 3 minutes out of 60. It's exhausting to watch other people's kids do dance. Like, I was so tired by the end of it.
My kids don't even do dance, but I could fix dance recitals real quick. You ready?
Yeah.
It's now it's competitive.
Yes.
Now it's competitive. Now it's how you think you could dance now, kids, with the stars. And the different classes, hip hop, dance crew, kindergartners, goes up against, like, you know, the fifth grade, ballet team. Obviously, they're going to get fucking rocked. But it's competitive,
seated, though, right?
It is seated for us. Yeah. We are seated. And then at the end, they come out and they're like, all right, kids, come out. Everyone wins. And everyone gets like a medal that said, like, you're a winner. You did it. And then as soon as the kids get off the stage, the adults are like, okay, for real. Now it's time to announce the winners, because you got to know whose kids rocked whose kids at competitive dance in there.
I do like to, when I watch a dance recital, I'll build storylines in my head of like behind the scenes drama. Where I'm trying to guess which of them don't get along with each other, which one's like the teacher's favorite, which one's the one that the teacher's like, I'm just gonna put you over here. And that kind of keeps me entertained a little bit behind, you know, like making a behind the scenes drama.
I will say also that dance recitals are one of the few places that I do get exposed to new music, which I appreciate.
That's a shame.
It's so hard to discover new music these days.
Such a huge
dance recitals. Whipping your phone out to Shazam.
Hey, Shazam this.
I'm trying to get it.
Start it over. I didn't Shazam it in time. Mm-hmm. Why are you only doing a mashup of it? I can't Shazam half a mashup, Darlene.
Is this Shawn Mendes?
I'm going to report to the RCAA, Charlene.
Shawn Mendes ex DeBarge? You're crazy for this one, Belinda. How about we do some advice?
I'm an entomologist, so I'm comfortable around insects and other creepy crawlies. In scenarios where there's a bug inside, I'm more than happy to be the go-to person who scoops up the critter and humanely relocates them. It feels good to alleviate a potentially stressful situation for human and bug alike. I've just moved into a new neighborhood. I'm thinking about offering my bug-catching services to my neighbors. What's a good way to advertise my willingness and enthusiasm for performing these sorts of one-off insect rescue missions? That's from Critter Catcher in North Carolina.
That's wild.
I mean, you know it's wild.
You know it's wild, right?
We don't have to dwell.
The problem is, I think, it's wild. But I'm going to nail down why it's wild, because there aren't journeyman, like, insect jobs. What's the word I'm about? Exterminators, right? There's no midpoint. So either they're going to call you constantly for shit because there's bugs everywhere, or no one's going to contact you about this and you're throwing yourself out.
We know... We just said
it was wild. Like,
it's wild.
We covered all that.
It's wild. If they wrote the question in, they don't have the context for why it's wild.
Yeah, they do, because they sent it to us, the wild boys.
Travis, we have to assume better of our dear, sweet listeners that when they send in a scenario like this, they know how fucked up and twisted it is.
That's true.
To have a bespoke a la carte bug relocation service offered to your neighbors is simply not a thing. Now, can we play with that? Sure, we can have fun with that.
Can we willingly eat these sins so they're not exposed to reality? Of course, yeah. Get them out of your noodle, put them here.
You need a barter system. What's the thing you don't want to do around your house?
Yeah.
That when someone calls you and they're like, yeah, got another moth in here or whatever, and you're like, cool, I need to like turn this hand on, I don't want to do that, or whatever. Like, what's the thing? What's the exchange rate?
Here's what I would offer.
Singular bug relocation.
Because I don't mind bug relocation. Bugs don't stress me out. So I could do this gig. What I would tell people is, I will come to your home and remove the bug.
Uh-huh.
But when I come to your home, I will have in my possession something that will then be yours.
Oh, cool.
So this will no longer be my possession. It will be your possession.
Yeah.
And... it's your thing to deal with now, and it's so
are there any restrictions on that? Because that's such a fucking bum deal for me, the person with the
physical lifting, physically hefted. It has to be physically lifted.
Single hand,
one hand, dude. Because you're bigger.
How about this size of number of legs? Number of legs of bug.
This is what I'm saying. There has to be an exchange rate, Justin. Because if I ask you, oh, there's an ant on my counter, and you come get it, and you bring me a broken microwave,
but don't.
But that's, you're bringing capitalism into it, Travis.
No,
it doesn't
I'm
have
bringing
to be
bartering
that.
And exchange.
Every
rate.
Bug is the exact same amount of effort to get rid of, unless that's, you've got one of the craftier ones.
That's not true, and you know
that's
it.
So
a stink
not true,
bug
my
is
man.
So fucking easy to get. A bee? Yeah.
Individually. I was saying you're being called for individual bugs. There's no one bug that's harder to get than another bug.
There's a wasp in my house versus a stink bug, Justin. You're telling me that I get the same piece of shit
very
from
fast
your house?
Fly.
Very quick sidebar on wasps. Yesterday, I was unrolling a sunbrella, you know, yes?
Yeah.
I'm unrolling it, and a wasp comes out of nowhere and stings me. And I get instantly, like, very
Superpowers.
Angry, but a little nostalgic. Like, oh, man,
oh, yeah,
look at me, an outdoor kid. But then I forget that part and just get really, really in a lot of pain, a great deal of pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And but then I'm getting angrier, too, because I really want to roll this umbrella up. And I'm thinking about how small this guy is and how big I am.
Yeah.
So I go up there and I start to unroll the umbrella. And when I do that, you guys aren't going to believe it. I thought these guys could only do that trick once, but I think that's bees, because this dude comes back for a second helping.
He gets a second dish, a juicer.
Justin, could it be, rarely is a wasp a loner, right?
Yeah.
A wasp, rarely
maybe
do you
a
see a
wasp
who's like, I'm striking out on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And perhaps,
maybe
Justin,
Mrs. Wasp.
This wasp was rolling like 9 deep, 10 deep, and coming.
It
for
was
you.
The first wasp's lover. Entirely possible. Yeah. At one time.
Well, he stung me a second fucking time, and my kids started laughing at me because I was crying a little bit. Like, not even.
When you get stung by a bug or shit on by a bird or anything like that, isn't there a little bit of a part of you that gets excited, like, I got a story for later? Not always, man.
Not in this moment, and maybe not with wasps. Maybe I've never got stung by wasps before, but I felt nauseous and sad. I felt sad about it. It hurt on my hand so bad, and there was a bump. Oh, man.
The bump's
scary, too. He stung me
twice,
and I knew where he was. The second time, I knew exactly where he was.
You look at that bump, you think, is a part of it still in there? That's what I think, and
like
it freaks me the fuck out.
I know where all of it is. It's in my vacuum.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whoa. That'll you got you. Him?
Yeah, man, I snaked him right out of the air.
You ghost busted him.
And then you released him.
Lured him in for a third bite. And when he came out for
put
a third
salt
taste,
on your skin, you're like,
what's up? I guess humanity still has a couple of tricks left in it. You know what I mean?
Vacuum. Vacuum is my non-offensive. It's my non-lethal bug relocation service that I offer.
This was the
to
service
bugs.
I provided this gentleman. He had to get away from the kids.
It's
so.
Like a, it's a small dust buster, and then there's a trigger on it that flips the tank open to just launch whatever bug out that you are done with, and then you job done. And then if they're too hard to catch with that, or if they're real bastards about it, then I do have a bug assault launcher. And that's if they don't want to get revacuumed, sucked up, and they threaten me and my house or
so
bite me or my kids. The vacuum is the first wave of what we offer here at my house. If a wasp gets in the house and he doesn't want to get vacuumed up, sorry, pal, you're going to catch the smoke.
I also do not extend any protection to locusts or cicadas. And I'll tell you why. Right now, we're in a plague.
Yeah.
And plagues don't count.
Dot, my 5-year-old who has the soul of like a 90-year-old trapped in them, looked at me the other day, just randomly. We're like sitting on the couch, and she goes, probably going to be a lot of cicadas this year. It's another hot one.
Damn, dude.
What? What the fuck? Like, I was like, okay, cool. I don't know if that's connected in any way. I don't know if those two things are related to each other. But she said it with such confidence. She said it like an old man saying, like, going to rain today. My knee's acting up. It
hey,
got
she's got the soul
so
of an old man that made up a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, it got me so deep.
Our Wobby's back, because he made up a bunch of shit, too.
I see Wobby in your daughter's eyes, Travis.
Our step-great-grandfather.
Our step-great... When I look in your daughter's eyes, it's like looking into the eyes of our step-great-grandfather.
Who was in no way blood related to us whatsoever.
Well, I fucking hope not.
Listen... I think the barrier to entry has got to be so low on this thing. That's the biggest issue, is that if it takes me remembering your phone number to get rid of the bug, or no texting way. You to get rid of the bug. No way. If there is a button that makes an alarm go off in your house and you can be there, I'm not kidding, 30 seconds guaranteed.
Or it's free.
Yeah. And the first time it doesn't work, I'm tearing the button off the wall. I'm canceling my subscription.
But that sucks for you because right. now you hear the alarm. You have 30 seconds yes. to grab some random shit from your house that you're going to sprint over.
You're going to have to schedule times that you're available. You're going to have to be walking loops in the neighborhood just ready. Maybe right. get yourself a truck. Or some kind of, if you could pneumatically ship yourself there quickly, that might work. Or put the bug in the pneumatic tube, send it to me.
Oh, create a zip line network that starts on your roof
yes.
and it goes down to every other house in the neighborhood. Why did I say roof?
I don't know.
Did you hear that?
And then a second zip roof. Line goes down to your basement so you can get yes. back.
Yes, that's cool. Build a prism of zip lines all throughout your neighborhood.
This is the problem with zip lines. They're only one way. We got to figure this out. And that's why yeah. we've come here today. How do we get balanced zip lines so I can go back and forth? Think about it.
That's perpetual motion, right, is what you're talking about.
Yes. Put me on.
You cracked that one.
Put me on an infinite loop of zip lines until I die.
I was visiting my girlfriend's friend who have a three-year-old. Upon meeting the child, he immediately asked, "Are you strong? I'm no athlete or bodybuilder, but my job requires a fair amount of manual work, and I have a reputation for being able to lift heavy things at work and in my personal life." So it's weird that those are two separate reputations, but let's go on. So I
well, I got my work strong reputation and my life strong reputation.
They know I'm strong at work, and at home they think I'm pretty strong, but maybe yeah. they don't know exactly how strong. But it is
that's
a reputation.
Like Clark Kent and Superman. You know what I mean? You look at Clark Kent, and you're like, I bet that guy could.
He's
lift
fucking cut.
Like
he's
a
built.
Big box. And then you look at Superman, you're like, I know that guy could lift a bus. But Justin, they're the same person.
They're the same guy.
Superman is when okay. he's at work.
So I said yes. He immediately countered with, "Show me." Brothers, how do I convince this three-year-old stranger that I'm strong when there isn't a phone book or a board to chop in half nearby? That's from supposedly strong in San Jose. I just to drill down on this, my girlfriend's friend has a child. So this is your girlfriend's friend. It's basically a stranger. I mean, to you, yes. right? We can agree. This is not a
they
a
even said this three-year-old stranger.
It's a three-year-old stranger. I mean,
I've learned that children are inherently weak. They're very small. Sure. Their muscles are dough. The ability to prove to them that you're stronger than they are is pretty so hard. Easy. You can pick yeah. up anything large. It doesn't have to be dense or heavy. And if you make this noise, when you do it, the kids lose their shit.
Yeah, they love it when you yell.
It's really hard to top. Physically picking someone up yes. like because their moment like everything all the different stuff that they can do at that point yes. is severely limited because they no longer have the ground to work with, you know what I mean? Like you just kind of lift them up, and I think as terms of strength, I mean
yeah, I can't pick myself up. I've tried. God, you know what I mean? If I try to pick myself up, I don't go anywhere. So if someone
think about that.
Someone oh, else picks me up, they're stronger than I am.
I used to think about that in class, like, when I was younger, I would think, if you got so strong that you could lift more than your body weight,
yeah,
why can't
yeah, you? No, I mean, the Lorax figured this out, and he's a dumb little puppet monster. Thank I you. Don't understand why I can't fucking lift myself up by the seat of my pants and fly up into
the
sky.
Do you guys
sky.
Ever have recurring, I have a recurring dream where in the dream,
I, don't dream,
I figured out how to jump up and not come back down and just kind of hover around like I'm glitching
best.
In a video game? And yes, every time in the dream, I will say or think, ah, I finally figured out how to do it in real life. And I was so excited. And then I wake up and I'm so disappointed. And it happens maybe twice a week. I have that dream.
I'm sorry, Travis.
Yeah.
Tough,
that I've
man.
Basically, in the dream, what I'm saying is I've figured out how to pick myself up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you've forgotten by daylight.
Yep.
Ain't that the way?
What? Oh, you just got to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Have you ever tried that, Justin? Grab your bootstraps. Pull up real hard.
Your ass hanging
fling
down?
Yourself in the air.
That's well, Trav, that's why that expression exists, actually. Funny enough, the fact that you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps is exactly why it's used the way it is. Because the idea that you would be able to elevate your own position by pulling on your own bootstraps is so ridiculous. And that's why the idiom is the way it is.
You know, Justin, it's the same with the world is your oyster, because the rest of that is go out there and shuck it, which means it's there if you're willing to work for it, not right. It's laid open before you. Anyways, welcome to...
What's going on?
Welcome to Brother Learning.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Just learning. Just talking about Brother
Learning. We are. Like, don't get me wrong. I love that's a service we can also provide. Like, we can do joke, but we can also do, like, you know, Roman Mars shit. And that's cool. It's just like, it's a switch there.
Do you have an idiom you want to kind of unfold?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about, Griffin?
I would rather do, like... jokes about Mario's balls or like a fucking...
We can do some of those. I think
we barely touched on the littlest bit of serious.
It felt like five
like,
whole...
Oh, no!
It felt like five whole Gregorian minutes to me of spent of just like... And it's not just... And guys, it wasn't just that you started to drop fun facts. Your whole like tone, like it was like a mask came on. And you're like, it's funny, you should say... Like
we
you
said
Frasier'd
one
out.
Fact each, Griffin.
But it was the way you said it was like maximum Frasier. And it was like,
it was
what's going... It really, really felt like you guys were
I've
just stepping through a portal.
I've actually been pitching that to Paramount Plus. If you would keep that to your maximum Frasier, my post-apocalyptic Frasier reboot, please... I've told you not to share that with our audience. It's not ready yet.
Yeah.
Please.
It's so important when a group is trying to show versatility that at least one
you're
of
doing
them
the voice right now. This is your, like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, where's my brother?
I'm kind of sick. I've been outside all the time, and I inhaled
it's
everything.
It's dangerous out there.
It's not great.
I inhaled everything because I'm at the park all the time, and I'm just kind of sick, Griffin. I'm not trying to do a voice with you. I just knew that about bootstraps. Okay,
Griffin,
if you could stop bullying me,
like
I would
this.
Really appreciate it.
Why are you being
I
like
just
this, Griffin? Why are you being like this?
Me right now am expressing a desire for us to feel safe and comfortable in this environment to be ourselves.
Okay. Justin and I, hold on. Justin and I,
if that
you're
makes
doing expressly the opposite.
If that makes me
like,
a bad,
no,
I'm
perform,
trying to make this a safe
artifice.
Place. Where you know you don't have to be anything other than exactly what you are.
Are you? You're okay. Your submission is that the
what I'm doing
midnight
is good?
Society. Your submission
the
midnight society.
The boisterous, society. The boisterous happy guys. That's the true us.
And anything less than that.
Anything less than that is a put.
Doesn't have to be happy. No, you're misrepresenting.
Any bit of dourness.
You're misrepresenting.
Is
we could do a sad joke about Mario's balls. Like it doesn't have to be happy guys. Like
you guys
look
hear
around.
About Mario's
no
balls?
Fucking. No fucking. You hear about Mario's balls got stuck in. Manhole
fire.
Cover. He got him stuck in manhole cover going down to try to kill Bowser down there. See, you could do a sad joke about Mario's balls. It doesn't, I'm not going to force us to, I want you to be what you are. And if that's sad or mad at me always, like I
mad
think
you
are.
Mad at
you
about Mario's balls?
Not
Griffin,
mad
what
at
did
you at
you
all,
do?
Griffin?
What did I do?
To Mario's
I
balls.
Drove my car over him. But I
did he
I just
to?
Want, I guess I'm trying to be a good brother.
And you are.
Take me away, jail. Take me away to jail for trying to be a good fucking brother for once.
Lift their dad up.
Yeah.
Is their dad around? Good. Pick their dad up.
Well, that's
or just
a dangerous.
Like
that. That is a maybe we if we don't know the answer to that question,
they're
I don't
around.
Know that we can suggest.
If
they
the dad's not around, you become the dad because dads are inherently strong to their children.
Okay.
Boom. I'm sorry to your girlfriend, by the way. For whatever.
Are you strong to your kids, Juice?
No.
His kids.
Yeah,
are
I was
going to
say, Trav, you can't just drop that. Yeah, by 5 or 6, they crack it. By 5 or 6, they know.
Get in the phone book, which I think still exists. See if you can find a place.
They literally
that,
said. They literally fucking
literally
said.
Literally
the
said
that
there
is
a
phone
book.
Okay, then
Travis,
Google.
That is. They said
you
they,
could not
okay,
have fucked
the
that
parameter
up.
Of
rip
the
your
question.
Phone in half. Pull your iPhone out, rip it in half. The child
yes,
will one,
dude.
Respect your strength. 2, respect your commitment to the bit. 3,
yep.
Love your commentary on how we've become too connected to our devices in this day.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Don't use your real phone, though.
Don't
like,
use your
the
own
kid
personal
doesn't know.
Phone. Use his, break his dad's phone.
Yeah.
See what his dad does. See, yeah. Look, your dad's not doing shit. That's how strong I am.
And if the dad's not around, you say, I found your, this is your dad's phone. I found it.
He tried to hide it. He wouldn't follow him.
I got it.
It's full of messages for you anyway.
It's full of clues. You need to find it.
I've just denied you a great cathartic moment. That's strength. The strength is the denial of emotional presence.
That's power.
That's power, baby.
I was going to say hire a bunch of extras to compliment your strength, but I actually like this better.
If I'm hiring extras, I'm going to teach them how to fake a fight.
Yeah. And I'm
gonna fake beat them all up.
Yeah, that's recreate the whole pool hall fight scene from Step by Step.
It's getting expensive.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Good pull, Griffin. As long as we're touching on this, Griffin, the scene from Family Matters. When,
another kick-ass fight scene.
Yeah, no, when Urkel is challenged to the rope climbing contest, and he builds a jetpack instead because he uses his strongest muscle, his brain, which isn't a muscle, I don't think, and he flies up with the jetpack to get to the top, which I think is cheating, but in the show it's seen as a celebration. But then he busts through the ceiling and ends up, I think, crossing over to Step by Step.
He ends up at Step by Step.
Recreate that scene for the three-year-olds. It's gonna blow.
So you want this person to
basically TGIF?
This child said, "Prove to me your strength." And your suggestion is strap on a jetpack, blast through the ceiling. Yeah. First of all, if I could say the first problem, I mean, okay, let's take this step by step. Okay. There's no jetpacks. You die if you blast
Urkel
had
to
invent
it because he used his brain. He didn't go.
Okay,
buy
let's
one
in this world. Urkel has
store.
Invented a jetpack. He smashes into the ceiling. He's dead now. There's no fucking way.
Urkel
but
didn't die.
You've left the child alone. Bye, kid. Boop. See ya. And then you want them to land.
If you were solely responsible for that child's care, that should have been established.
Okay,
within
I'm
the
assuming
question.
Maybe a lot. But then the last step of your plan is to go to Step by Step. And
not
I simply don't know
Urkel
how to
an aim for Step by Step. He ends up there, takes Al to the dance.
Yeah.
And then he does the Urkel for everyone, and everyone on Step by Step ends up doing the Urkel. It was a huge crossover event, Griffin.
I remember.
If that's not strength, what is?
But.
Yeah, it brought the Tommy Westfall universe to its knees.
What if?
Just like the TGIF special where Salem had a time-traveling hairball and all the different shows, including Teen Angel and Boy Meets World, were shot in different decades for that weekend.
Or the must-see TV event where a New York City blackout crossed over between Caroline and the City and Friends
and
Seinfeld.
And
creating,
what's the one with Paul Reiser?
Mad About You?
Yeah,
it's a four-part continuity that
TV
ties
used
together
to be so good.
TV used to rip. What if in that scene Step by Step where Urkel lands with a jetpack, what if instead the jetpack malfunctioned in the sky and he fell to his death in the yard of the Step by Step family, and then they just had to kind of deal with that? What if you're watching Step by Step?
It's not Ozark, Griffin. It's Step by Step.
You're watching Step by Step and just a body just fucking
and now
like,
it's
what
a
the
cover
fuck?
Up
Okay, no.
Step you're watching an episode step. Step by Step.
Urkel crashes into the yard dead.
Dead.
And then the Fargo logo pops up. It's like, holy
shit. Yeah.
Yes. Season 7? Are you sure?
It's a soft reboot.
It's a soft reboot.
People do spinoffs all the time. They don't do spin-ins. I'm saying you do a spin-in where a show is concurrently happening within another show.
Absolutely. How about we go to the Manny Zone?
Let's do it. You're living in the future. Look around you. Doctors are at your fingertips.
Wow.
Yeah. It used to be you had to go places to find doctors. Now you go get this on your phone to find doctors or your computer or whatever. I don't know how you access the internet, or as Mission Impossible would call it, cyberspace.
Cyberspace.
If you're accessing cyberspace, good news, you can find a doctor through ZocDoc. And not just a medical doctor, but a dentist doctor or a brain doctor. What do you need?
Travis, I have it on good authority that the entity's efforts to corrupt the information within cyberspace has not been effective with ZocDoc. Top of the line protections to protect them from the entity and to assist Ethan Hunt whenever he needs a physician.
Whoa, dude. So it's not an impossible mission to get the healthcare you need with ZocDoc.
Wild. The co-branding opportunity that no one expected, no one paid for, and no one allowed.
And no one will be happy about, probably, with our client.
Hey, in that 3-hour movie,
I don't think of them
that if they stop the entity, it will destroy cyberspace no less than 12 times. Then they stop the entity, spoilers, and cyberspace is never addressed. The world seems fine.
It really gives you blue balls. I want to see that bitch go down.
I don't want the world song to cyberspace.
I want to see cyberspace close. Please.
Hey, I
know who doesn't. You know who doesn't want to see that? ZocDoc. You know why? Because they're committed to helping you find the best doctors in your area.
And they love cyberspace.
They love cyberspace. If you've maybe relocated or you're looking to switch a physician, whatever the need, stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother, ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
I think another weird thing for the Mission Impossible movies is how the entity never eats. Maybe it's too busy.
Yes.
Maybe it doesn't have time to eat. You know what I mean? That happens to all of us. Where do you even find the time to eat?
Well, I get fresh meals sort of delivered to my house ready to eat from Factor.
La-di-da, must be nice.
Okay.
Weird energy to bring.
I'm waiting for Ethan to come home so I can make dinner. He's so busy all the time fighting the entity, Griffin. I don't even know what ingredients to buy. I don't know how to make it.
Well, you don't have to worry. You sound ridiculous right now because Factor's chef-crafted meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes, taking the hassle out of eating well. So you can get right back to wearing a big suit that inflates to make you look bigger and change the way your face and head looks.
Thank you.
Chewing a piece of gum that lets you turn invisible like some sort of chameleon.
Yeah.
You can get right back to doing that, shooting a gun that has it shoots a little computer out, and there's a little guy that comes out of the computer as a hologram.
Yeah.
And so all that shit comes in your first Factor box, all of this incredible Mission Impossible technology, and also delicious chef crafted meals. And these
only one of that, only one of those things is true, and we're not going to tell you which one.
Yeah. I mean, it will take you a while to pick from the delicious weekly menu options, 45 different weekly menu options. There may very well be Mission Impossible technology on there, but you're also going to get like good nutritious breakfast and on-the-go lunches and premium dinners.
They're ready so fast.
Whatever. What?
They're ready so fast.
They're ready so fast.
His offer won't self-destruct when we're done reading it.
I don't even know how you said would happen.
I don't know how it works in the Mission Impossible franchise either, but they're always
It says here in the Factor ad copy, don't even joke about how their phone might blow up because of this commercial.
Fuck.
Please, we ask again.
Get started at factormeals.com/brother50off and use code brother50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code brother50off at factormeals.com/brother50off for 50% off plus free shipping. Factormeals.com/brother50off.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depression Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depression Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Alston.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
All right.
Crap, man. I want a munch.
Squad.
I want to munch.
Squad. Dude, you're eating and you left no fucking crumbs, dude.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast profiling the latest and greatest of brand eating. I'm just inspired, guys. I've been directing this show, The Prom, at the theater, at the Ritter Park Amphitheater. You can get tickets at heartprom.com, H-A-R-T, prom.com. It's this weekend.
How dare you promote art
this weekend, not next weekend. You missed it last weekend. I wish you'd come, but this weekend you can come on out.
Unless you're going to be in Columbus with us.
Unless you're going to be in Columbus. Hey, listen, love folks, do both. All right?
Yeah, it's not that far. What, 4 hours?
No, prom's 3 nights. You can make it all happen. Our show's 2. Prom's 3. Figure it out. Get committed or get out of the way and let somebody else, a real fan.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hot, super hostile. Yeah, absolutely.
Super hostile.
That's how they sell tickets on Broadway, Griffin. They stand outside and they yell like, I thought you were a real fan. And you're like, what show is this? And you're like, Once Upon a Mattress. And they're like, I like Once Upon a Mattress. And like, do you? Because you're not in here.
You're about to be once upon in a coffin forever.
I'm going to fucking kill you if you don't come see Once Upon a Mattress.
Come see Beetlejuice or you'll learn a thing or two about being dead for real.
Yeah, because nice. I'll make you dead meat if you don't come to Beetlejuice.
With these two hands and this knife.
You're in town. You're in trouble. Whoa. If you don't come to see our play.
I'm going to spill your Beetlejuice, by which I mean the blood inside you, if you don't come see Beetlejuice this
cats
Saturday.
Have 9 lives, but your stupid ass doesn't. So come see Cats.
Oh, I'm glad that was about cats, or I would have been really lost.
Okay, listen. Taco Bell has debuted crispy chicken tacos and burritos.
They have what?
They have debuted. They have debuted. You know what I'm saying. I'm just having some fun. Those are available today, I think, if I'm doing the math correctly. Taco Bell is unleashing a full-flavored and full-size, yet just as craveable version of crispy chicken in its boldest move yet.
Okay. That's a big claim.
Taco Bell saying their boldest move yet.
Now, when they say full flavor, was there a different option that they considered?
They did shitty chicken nuggets for a minute.
We're gonna expand the chicken, but not the flavor part, just the size.
Flavor's normal.
The flavor's perfect. Starting June 17th, the brand is loading its crispy chicken strips into its most iconic formats with the debut of crispy chicken tacos and burritos, available nationwide for a limited time.
Okay, Justin, can I stop you for a second?
You have.
Yeah. I think it's real bold and brassy of these Taco Bell PR people to act like, hey, we had this protein-based thing, and you're never going to believe what we thought of doing with it. We put it in a taco. Like, that is supposed to blow my brain out of the water or whatever.
Trav,
like,
100%. And I think you can, if there is a theme of this press release, I do believe it is that hubris, that toxic hubris where they have discovered that people like to buy crispy chicken and they've gotten what we in West Virginia might call above their raisin. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they've forgotten where they came from and now they're thinking like their shit don't stink. Listen to this.
I mean, they made a McDonald's snack wrap. Do you want
made a snack wrap
trophy?
$8 for it? I bet you do. Quote, no, I'm not to the quote yet. I'm still trying to finish this. It's the same signature recipe fans loved in the sellout nuggets and the latest step in what's quickly becoming a full-on crispy chicken era for Taco Bell.
They're trying to restart the wars.
Yeah,
it's irresponsible. I don't think there's a person alive who, it's too fresh. We just lived through it. I think there's a weariness, and I don't think Taco Bell's going to get anyone.
We don't have the resource. I'm not going back to rationing. Are you kidding me?
Tell me if this is someone who is being cautious of their words and deeds. Quote, crispy chicken is having a moment, but our fans have made it a movement, said Taylor Montgomery, chief marketing officer at Taco Bell.
Awesome.
Bold.
Bold.
Just like Hamilton.
So we
that
decided.
That weird song in the middle of Hamilton where he does a whole thing about crispy chicken.
Yeah.
I thought was cool. My favorite part.
And it's weird because it starts, and it's like, if you could pull up Mr. Burr, it'll be ready in like 10 minutes. And he's like, I'm going to wait for it. And it's like,
he sings about how he's going to wait for it.
Yeah,
so we decided to bring out our sellout nuggets recipe to the formats that defined our brand because true innovation means elevating the icons, not replacing them.
But it's not.
But they we're
took
not
the
like
thing
every
thing that we're making and put it on tacos.
Travis, we're not like every other chicken spot out there. We're doing crispy chicken the only way we know how.
Tacos.
Full flavor and unmistakably Taco Bell.
It's weird that we didn't start with tacos and work our way backward. It's our core competency.
They needed to see if it was good enough to put in a taco, and then they did it. After the breakout success of crispy chicken nuggets, these motherfuckers! It's chicken nuggets! If you put it on the menu, everybody will buy it. You know what? There's a hot trend at every motherfucking restaurant in the Walt Disney World Resort, and it's called serving chicken nuggets, because they will be purchased. Fuck! The next move is obvious. Take the craveable tortilla-coated crunch fans love and pack it in the formats that made Taco Bell famous, tacos and burritos. At the center is the new crispy chicken strip, all white meat chicken marinated in fan-favorite zesty jalapeno buttermilk flavor and breaded with crispy tortilla chips. The inclusion of the word flavor there...
They keep
I would say
insisting that there's flavor.
Then it's loaded into bold builds with layers of texture familiar favorites like shredded cheddar and pico de gallo.
Whoa, they put cheese on it?
They put cheese on it.
So it's just moving closer to the light of Christ in the McDonald's snack wrap. What you're making, guys. I promise you.
From Liz Matthews.
And there's just a wisp of lettuce on there, as if we almost forgot to include it.
The wettest, softest lettuce.
This most transparent lettuce you've ever seen.
Is the full perimeter of the lettuce brown? Why, of course it is.
It's the kind of lettuce that makes you ask, is that part of the wrapper?
Mm-hmm. It looks like a child science experiment where they soaked it in food coloring and the food coloring was brown. Enjoy!
The craving for crispy chicken is growing every single day. And our fans have told us loud and clear, give us more.
Or we'll
die.
We
listened. Continue to innovate and now have delivered, said Liz Matthews, Taco Bell's global chief food innovation officer.
Hardest job on the planet.
Let's hear it for our frontline workers.
Give it up, Liz.
From our viral crispy chicken nuggets to redesigning it, I think we got to start being a bit more careful about what we call viral and what we call popular. Because I feel like for virality to be achieved, the nuggets have to in some way be self-replicating, right? There has to be some amount of the nuggets that are just perpetuating themselves.
I would also like to avoid referring to anything edible as viral.
Agreed, yeah. The obsession with perfecting the crispy chicken recipe, the sauce, they're still throwing a parade for themselves for adding chicken nuggets to the menu.
I also like the imagery of the obsession of like, listen, we as a company didn't want to do this, but Todd would not let it
go. But you fucking sickos and your fan favorite jalapeno flavorings.
We didn't want to do it. We hate doing this.
We are not called Chicken Bell.
The obsession runs so deep, Taco Bell couldn't pick just one person to help launch it. Because if crispy chicken nuggets proved anything,
it's the existence of God.
It's that everyone's into crispy chicken, done the Taco Bell way.
Oh, okay.
So a full-on crispy chicken cameo casting call was unleashed, tapping unexpected icons and devoted fans from every corner of culture to taste the crispy, bold greatness for themselves.
Is Young Gravy in the mix? Because Young Gravy's always in the mix.
No, his absence is noted and suspicious, I will say, Travis. Young Gravy, where art thou? That's what I say.
Yeah.
They probably had to turn him away. It was out for Young Gravy.
We have comedic nods from Kate Flannery to surprise voices like Gata and expert tastemakers like Christian Petroni. A wide array of cameos is all about this shared obsession because when the chicken hits his heart, everyone's got something to say. I don't know.
So are we going to get to see those Taco Bell?
Wouldn't that be something? They talk about them in here, but I don't know if we can find them maybe.
So in this press release, just got back from summer vacation, lying to their friends about the cool shit their uncle let them do.
I for sure met Young Gravy.
Yeah,
it was
crazy,
man.
He filmed the coolest TikToks about this. He loved it. He thought it was good. He did a cameo for me.
But he said
I
wasn't allowed to share them with you because you don't deserve them.
We got on Cameo and we just went nuts, gang. Anyway, enjoy the chicken.
Anyway, yeah. So that's the chicken. They're doing chicken tacos.
If you can believe it.
Believe it or not.
I housed so many of those McDonald's snack wraps. It was my favorite sort of go-to guy. And I think they stopped doing them.
He's a great guy.
I think they stopped doing them in like 1999, perhaps. And so I'm excited that they... Wait a minute.
No, you made him come back just now.
No. McDonald's snack wraps are coming back on July 10th.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on, man?
What?
How can we go from zero snack wrap offerings in the fast food marketplace to the big fucking dog is coming right back as Taco Bell steps into its territory?
Here's where I'm at currently is that there is not so much food trends as there are food extras. So everybody get pumped for chicken because we have lots of chicken. We just ended up with a lot of chicken as a nation. Yeah. That's what I think.
Eggs are too expensive to buy and the damn things keep turning into birds. Damn it.
There's some logic that makes sense in there, Travis. I'm searching for it.
Nobody bought these eggs and my supermarket's full of birds again. Call McDonald's.
We bought too many eggs. You want to do another question?
Yes. Yeah.
Recently, I requested a book through my library's purchase request form. You can do so much with your local library now,
amazing. Interlibrary audiobooks for free.
They're digitally.
Online. Yeah.
Check out your local library. There are a lot of great folks there. They love books. And they love you. Recently,
and
I requested a book through my...
You can find all kinds of periodicals, microfiche. Yeah. I don't know, it's film or fish, so I went with both in one word.
You really split the uprights.
Thank you.
Within a day, I got a personalized email, responded to my request, and said that my book would be in by the end of the week. Brothers, much to my chagrin, by the time I made my way to checking out the book, someone else had gotten there, so now I'm on the hold list. Funny enough, I feel me and this person could maybe be friends, given their interest and quickness to seize the specific book, and we'd have a good conversation starter. My question is, how can I get library staff to give me this potential foe turn into a friend's email? That's from Tomeless in Tampa.
I'm making a
but this is a second question like this, and I'm realizing what's happening here. We've entered the era of our advice giving where, like, now people come to us. It's like in an Ocean's movie where there's like one old guy that used to crack this certain kind of safe and they're like, listen, I got this thing. And he's like, can't be done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is the kind of question we get now. They want us to be like, can't be done. And then we walk out and they're like, wait, it's against this guy you hate. And I'll be like, how much money do you have?
That's the rules, dude.
That's where we're at. You know what I mean?
And maybe he dies. And maybe he dies at some point in the movie. And you're like, it's poignant that they.
It's for him.
Well, it's for them.
But it is very much like, hey, brothers. I want to meet a stranger based on a book we both like, and I have no way of doing it, and I have to convince other people to do it. Help me do it. They want us to say,
"Can't be done. Here can't it be is. Done. Waste someone else's time, young buck."
I got it. You ready for this? It's a term that I have been using lately to describe, like, Teresa and I read different books and then talk about them to each other, and I refer to it as an asynchronous book club. You can do an asynchronous book club here where the librarian is going to become your, like, dead drop, right? Okay. Where you're like, give them this note. It's anonymous. And I want an anonymous response about this, right? And we're going to come.
Trev, I love this so much. Wait, before you even detail this idea, I'd love to kind of play it out a little bit. So I'll be the librarian, and you be the person trying to get the email, okay?
And I'll just be someone standing around.
All right, Grover's just standing around listening, like just hearing it. And I really want to try. Let's just really buy in, okay? I don't want to. Let's really try. Go ahead.
Read my book.
Hey, The book that I ordered and somebody like checked it out.
You're being too loud.
Okay, Griffin,
I'm in a really good part of my history book right now.
I'll cut my hands around the librarian's ear.
You're still going.
Hey, I'd love to contact them. Only you can hear me now, librarian, because I'm cupping my hands around your ears. Okay. I'd love to contact them if you could deliver them this anonymous letter.
No.
Now here's the problem here, Justin. I feel like what you're failing to keep in mind is that someone doesn't become a librarian because they're not interested in playing out storylines, because they don't want to see where the story goes. I'm saying that I think...
Ah, damn it. You're right, because I work at the library. Try again. Okay, just do the last few words.
I was wondering if you could, like, give this anonymous letter to them. And because I'd love to talk to them about this book.
You've intrigued me. I do love a classic tale of misconnections. Let me see. Ah, yes. I'm sorry, Jeremy.
Why'd you just blow all that fucking dust on me, dude?
Forgive me, Jeremy. Your asthma. I've forgotten again. Apologies. So, you wish to contact Daniel Peterson?
Oh, his name was Daniel Peterson? Okay, thank you.
I'll never tell you.
Hey, Sven. Did you just give out another customer's name?
Sorry, Trev. I got to know. Are you a different guy right now?
I'm a different name. Now I'm the boss of the library.
Okay. Say your... Give me my cue again.
Make the voice like way lower because I'm getting...
Hey, Sven. Did you just give out another library patron's name?
No, Father.
Oh, I heard you said Daniel Peterson.
No, Father. That was a miss... You've misheard again, Father. You've forgotten your daily nap.
I am pretty tired.
Father, have you been taking care of your mind? Father, it sounds like you're slipping in your old age.
I've been taking my ginkgo biloba.
Jeremy, you hear this, right? You're my witness. Father's slipping.
Yeah, where's the Bible section?
Thank you so much for... Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, which is still called My Brother and Me, despite it not being great for SEO.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed yourself. Time for a rebrand. Hey, everybody. Well, as mentioned, we're going to be in Columbus this weekend. You should come see us. We're doing My Brother and Me and Adventure Zone, and we'll be at events at the Origins Game Fair. If you're coming to a live show and you want to get a question answered or a fear read aloud, you can email it to mbmbam@maximumfun.org and put Columbus in the subject line. And announcement, the Dadlands Anaheim Taz show with Brennan was originally supposed to be on Friday, July 11th, but it's been moved to Saturday, July 12th. And the My Brother and Me live show that was scheduled for the 12th will now be on the 11th. We apologize for that.
Which sucks. We're very sorry that we have had to do that. There was a scheduling mishap. And so previously purchased tickets will be valid for the new date. If you're unable to attend, refunds are available up to 14 days before the show at the point of purchase.
Tickets for all the shows for the rest of the year are on sale now. You can get all the information and ticket links at bit.ly/McElroyTours.
We got some new merch in the merch store, including a Faster Than Fear Miggy standee, a lot of just absolutely off-the-wall shit present in the merch store.
And 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to the Transgender Law Center. Go check out all of that stuff Griffin just mentioned and more at macroymerch.com.
And thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Do we have a fear?
We do. We do. Justin, do you want to read it?
Oh, wow.
I'd be happy to, Trev. Yeah. Thank you so much. This year, I want to be faster than my fear that an extra lizard will appear in my lizard enclosure. Mm-hmm. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, Me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.